Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. In my few years since I've been ordained, there is a question, perhaps the question the most number of people have asked me, has to relate to how do I pray? What do I do when I pray? I don't have the right words. I'd like to pray. I'm not sure I'm any good at it. There was a recent cover article in a publication I subscribe to that talked about perhaps the greatest calling of a pastor in what we would call a secular age, an age where more and more people, a growing population of people, would claim no religious affiliation and not that they're not a part of any particular faith community. So in a secular age, maybe the one of the most important aspects of a pastor's call is to help teach people to pray. And if me hearing this question from so many different people has anything to say about it, I might agree a little bit with this author that there's something to prayer, that there's a desire. I've found, both from friends who are part of the church and from friends who are not, to know about prayer and what it does, to be rooted in it and brought up, and to figure out what this kind of practice of prayer might look like. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what Jesus actually offers in the Lord's Prayer as a response to this, and about those interesting parables at the end, like the comparison between God's parenting style and the parenting style of humans, and at least none of us, hopefully, are giving our kids scorpions when they ask for eggs. So we'll get there, but I want to start with we're going to practice 3 types of prayer practice together. We are going to spend a couple of minutes practicing 3 different things. So the first is going to require you to look back in your bulletin at the end of the psalm. And we're going to do a practice called Lectio Divina, which means kind of like a divine reading. And we're going to go through this. And if you've ever done something as part of one of our groups or meetings, if I refer to it as dwelling in the Word, this is a very similar, dwelling in the Word comes from Lectio Divina. And so this is a prayer practice centered around Scripture. And we're going to do a very short and simple version of it. So I want you to look at the last verse of Psalm 138, so verse 8 printed. You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And here's what I want. I want you to read it slowly. And you've heard it aloud. But read it slowly to yourself. And listen for a word or a phrase that seems to kind of jump out to you, something that catches your attention. So go ahead and read verse 8 slowly. Okay, take another minute. Think of that thing. Was there anything that jumped out at you? Is anybody willing to share a word or phrase that seemed to kind of, yeah?
purpose for me.
Purpose for me, yeah.
And that strikes me from 2 years ago.
From the
accident I was in. My life was spared, and there has to be some purpose for me.
Yeah, so tied deeply to your life, right? So many of these will be different for us. So a purpose for me, that stands out. Any other phrases or words stand out?
Steadfast,
yeah.
Because when I was younger, because of the faith I was in, there was just so much guilt that I didn't feel like God could actually love me as much as he does.
Yeah.
And that it was steadfast and that I was worthy.
Right, that it's always there. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tom and Karen, for sharing that. So hopefully you have something too, a word or phrase that stood out to you. And what we're going to do now is I want you to read it again and pay special attention. Or actually, I'm going to read it out loud this time, nice and slow. And I want you to pay special attention to that word or phrase that stood out to you and kind of hold it in there again. And see if there are any feelings that come up associated with that. So we've heard some of the stories for these two that might be associated. So see what other feelings come up as I read it again and you pay special attention to that word or phrase. You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. Think about what else comes to you, feelings or thoughts. And then read it one more time. And this time, you're going to read it in a way where it is your prayer to God. So I want you to read it. Read it as you go through and lift it up as a prayer to God. And the last part, so you've just done it. You've just prayed with Lectio Divina. This is a practice. You can use a longer passage of Scripture or a shorter one. But you read it. You see what comes to you. You read it again, paying special attention to that part. And then you read it again and kind of pray from it. So you lift up those same words or that part, and you just lift it back to God. You think about God as you do it. You have that movement, and you get ready, as we talked about in maybe an Oran's position or another way, to receive from God. And a good way to finish that is also another type of prayer. This is called a breath prayer. So I'm going to take that steadfast love endures forever piece of this scripture. And we're going to, I want everybody to get comfortable in your seat. This is a little bit more like meditation. It may not be your thing, but we're introducing three types of prayer practices today. Get comfortable in your seat, and we're going to take some deep breaths together. And as you breathe in, I want you in your head to be thinking your steadfast love, and as you exhale, endures forever. So we're going to take deep breaths, and as you inhale, your steadfast love, exhale, endures forever. Breathe in and out. In and out. Let's do that three more times together. Your steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Okay, and has anybody ever felt like they're too busy to pray? To crack open a piece of scripture and spend the time sitting that it's going to take to read it multiple times, it just like seems like that's going to be hard to fit in. To find a quiet, anybody have trouble finding a quiet space? Or being quiet in that quiet space? So maybe the breathing prayer is not quite your thing either. This one is for people who are on the move. Anybody love a to-do list? Yeah, okay. This one's for you. This is called the Ignatian Examen. It's after St. Ignatius, and you may have seen it. There's actually some videos of me leading us through this a couple of Lenten seasons ago on our Facebook page. But we're going to do a really short one because there's not been a lot. Well, maybe your day started really early. I don't know. But maybe you haven't had so much happening in the day. So this is often done like in the afternoon or evening when you're reviewing your day and maybe getting ready for what's ahead. If you'd like to tweak it and use it as you're making your to-do list, there's a way to kind of do that. But it starts with, so we're going to continue, becoming aware of God's presence. So just kind of noting that God is present with you. It might be a session of that breathing prayer like we just did, so now we're right along the track. Or it might just be saying the Lord's Prayer as you wake up in the morning. It might be 10 seconds of stillness. It might be reading a devotion. But doing something to remind yourself that God is with you. And then you're going to start reviewing your day so far. So, how did you wake up this morning? Was it to an alarm? To a loved one? To sunlight? To the smell of bacon? How did you wake up this morning? That's first, right? And we're going detail by detail. I want everybody to do this with me. How did you wake up? What did you do next? Right? Who have you talked to? What conversations and encounters have you had? Did you get in the car and drive anywhere? Did you eat anything? Did you come here and who did you greet and talk to? What did you see? Think of all the things that you have done from that moment you woke up this morning until now. God was with you in all of those moments. I wonder, this is the second step, or the third step. So we've become aware that God is present with us. We've reviewed our day. I wonder if there was something as you reviewed your day that stood out a little more. You spent a little more time thinking about that moment. Maybe it was a conversation. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was the sounds you heard as you sat outside and drank your coffee. A part of that day that stood out more to you up to this point. Maybe it's a few seconds ago when we did a breath prayer. All right, hopefully you got there in your review of the day. And one of those that seems to sit out to you a little bit. And then I want you to spend some time thinking why that might have stood out to you. You probably won't get an answer. You might just come up with a bunch. I love that person a whole lot. I was angry at that person that I didn't think was driving right. I was scared for the bicyclist on Bee Creek Road. Right, something that stood out to you more. And maybe why. And then that's the thing that I want you to pray about. And the prayer can be as simple as this. God, help me understand why this part of the day stands out to me. God, help me see where you were when we were having that conversation. God, help me to love my neighbors and assume their best intentions. And then you go about the rest of your day asking that you might be aware of God's presence, the thing that we started with, that we tuned into. Or perhaps asking that God might help direct your steps with regard to this one piece of your day so far. If you want to do this in the morning with your to-do list, you can either think of the day before, or you can think of everything you have to do this day and do the part of, when I made my to-do list, what jumped out at me, right? I wonder why. Let me pray to God about this. Let me ask that God might be particularly present when I get to that item. This one speaks to me well. Those are three types of prayer. Pretty different. Some use scripture. None of the ones we did today really use a lot of words. At least not a lot of out loud words that you're having to come up with on your own. And I think that can often be one of the things that can kind of stop or stifle us. We think that we need the right words. And so now I want to turn your attention back to our gospel reading for today. I want you to look at, to think about the Lord's Prayer, or you can look at it. It's printed a couple pages after the gospel reading. And then I want you to read how Jesus says it. How simple it is, particularly in this gospel of Luke. How straightforward and to the point. How bold it is in asking and in committing to action, right? Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone indebted to us. It starts with this word, Father. It's a word, Abba. It's a word of intimate relationship. So here's the great news when Jesus starts off teaching them to pray. He says, God is a loving Father who is in a deep relationship with you. Like we started the Ignatian exam, God is present with you right now. My daughter is learning to speak more and more and more, right? She's getting a great vocabulary, especially the last couple months, just exploding. She still says stuff that I can't understand all the time. I love to hear it. I cannot imagine how much more God loves to hear your gibberish, your almost words. Because you are spending time with God. You are growing in relationship with God who is already in your midst. You're opening yourself up to God's presence. There's been a lot of studies done about people who pray. It's interesting to note that people who pray are more likely to say they've had a recent experience with the divine. Prayer not only like petitions God, right? We see the example of Abraham interceding, as we use our prayers of intercession and worship, for the sake of others. God, if there's a few people, there's 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10 people, God, right? Interceding, that is a type of prayer that we use, and it's been modeled by everybody from Abraham through the prophets to Jesus. Prayer for one another. And we can often use words in that, but there's this intimacy of relationship often in that. And just opening ourselves up, it changes not only our address to God and our petition for God to do something, but prayer changes us. It opens us up to remembering that God is present with us. So Jesus gives us some simple words, words that we know. So if you ever, what I first tell people when they ask me, like, how do I pray? What does it mean? I want to do better. I go, just Lord's Prayer. You know it, we say it, you can find it in these two places in Scripture. If you'd like a printed copy, take your bulletin home with you. It's a great place to start. Walk over to the window over here where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It is a great place. And think about what it means, but look at how simple it is. Even the version we use in worship, we kind of fluffed it up a tiny bit. It's bold and to the point, which I think when Jesus gives this parable afterwards, his insistence is on more that you pray than how you pray. And he says, this person who's your friend will, if not because they're your friend, at least because of persistence. And then he says, be bold. Step forward to God. Make requests. God, give me what I need for today. God, forgive me and help me to forgive everybody who has wronged me, who owes me. Jesus offers an example of this and reminds us again of that relationship between father and children. God is not looking to give us, you know, like, God's not playing a great game of gotcha. God, give me an egg. Here's a scorpion. God is enjoying that you spend time in prayer, whatever time that looks like. Though I will say, our namesake, Martin Luther, often said, he's quoted as saying, I've got so much to do today, I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. That the busier we are, often the more we need this time. Hopefully, we learn a little bit more about how to pray. And I want you to be assured that it starts and ends in the loving relationship of God. It's where Jesus starts this prayer, and it's where he ends our gospel reading. That you are the beloved children of God, and God is happy when you spend time with God in prayer. It's not that like God is then super unhappy when you don't. We don't get that part. But God enjoys when you come and ask and boldly proclaim, because God is right there, as close to us as we are to ourselves.